Well, take your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter 11. We're going to continue to talk about prayer. You know, our theme is in everything by prayer. And so that's what we've been focusing on this year. And, you know, probably more so this year than other years. You know, a lot of times God will lay a theme on my heart for the year, and I'll kind of preach on it for like the first month. And then, you know, just kind of go in different directions. But this year, I really felt impressed to stay true to the theme the entire year. And so we've done our best to do that. Even Brother Frankie, when he fills in for me, I believe has stayed on course concerning the matter of prayer for the most part. But we're going to continue to study that today. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, Luke chapter 11, and we will read responsively today, Luke chapter 11. I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses as we go through this passage, verses 1 through 13. I'll begin in verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Well, as we continue to talk about this thing of prayer, and I want you to go back to the text, if you will, and you understand that Jesus is trying to help his disciples learn to pray. By the way, that's an important thing, right? Everybody okay with this topic of prayer? Here's the thing. I've heard so many of you make comments throughout the year how thankful you are for this theme this year. And can I say I'm glad to hear that? Amen. And here's the thing. So we are in September now, right? The first day of September. And we are looking forward to the last part of this year. Where we have September, October, November, December. So if you do your math, we're how many? 2/3 of the way through, right? Okay, we have 4 months left. And so we're so excited about this third part of the year, right? And how we're going to move forward to the next year, right? We have January 1st just right around the corner, if you will. Okay? And so I hope that having consumed 2/3 of Sundays, right, throughout the year, that you've made some progress in your prayer life. Right? I hope. A little bit?
Just a skosh? That's a term, right? How many of you heard that one before? Okay. All right. So I don't even know if that's a real word. I suppose it's a real word. But that's a new word study, Brother Lelosi, to look up skosh, to see what that is. But anyways, just a little, right? But some, I hope. Okay? Maybe going into the year in this theme, you were at 5 minutes a day in prayer. So maybe today you're at six. Okay, I'm hoping more than that. But some increase, right? I'm trying to be kind and be a little funny at the same time. But we should be better, shouldn't we? Learning about prayer and the significance of it. Because, I mean, I've kind of loaded your wagon, so to speak, right? About these topics of prayer and elements of prayer and reasons for prayer and the different terms of prayer. We talked about supplication, right? We've talked about thanksgiving, and we've talked about the actual thing of prayer, and we've talked about fasting and all these different elements, right, so far as we're praying. So we're learning to pray. We're learning this whole thing about in everything by prayer. Okay? You all know that, well, if you don't know, you'll know after I tell you right now. We had a car accident, okay, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, God has a purpose for breaking his truck, okay? That truck was God's truck, okay? When I bought it, I gave it to God. It was his truck. So he decided after 15 years of allowing me to drive his truck that he decided to break his truck, okay? Because the accident was not my fault. It came out of nowhere. And so God said, okay, Eric, I'm going to break my truck. Okay, it's broken. And so here's the thing. I've been praying that God would help me find the next truck he'd want me to manage. You know, that's a good thing to do. You say that's such a simple thing that God doesn't care what kind of truck you drive. Well, I think he does care. And I think he cares what kind of truck you drive, Brother Parks. Amen? And we're still praying for you. But Brother Parks is particular to Chevys. I'm particular to Fords. And some of you are particular to Toyotas. And there's some of you that are in the pits of hell that are particular to Dodge. But, sorry for the dart. No, I like to tease. I really do. I really want what God wants for me. I don't know what direction to go. I don't know what to buy. You know, it's hard. And you say, but Pastor, that's such a trivial thing. But here's the thing I've learned. Nothing is trivial. It's in everything by prayer. All these decisions are important. And I'll go back to a story about a friend of mine that came to me. And he said, hey, Brother Combs, I have this job opportunity, and it would mean better benefits and more money for my family and you know, a better quality of life for us, if you will. But I'm going to have to miss church every once in a while. And I said, I just told him, I said, well, okay, but I said, I don't think you should. I don't think that you should give up missing church, and I don't think you should give up the freedoms to go out soul winning and be a part of ministry. And so he said, okay, well, I appreciate what you said. And he went ahead and took the job. 1 year later, by the way, during that year, we watched their family fall out of church. Just slowly. Bit by bit. A year later, he came back to me and said, Brother Combs, I want to thank you for the advice that you gave me. He said, you were right. He said, would you pray that God would give me another job that would allow me to be in church again? And we did. And guess what? God did that for him. But I want you to understand that it's not trivial. All of these things are important. You say, how important, or what makes something important? Well, look at the story that Jesus tells at verse 5. Okay, so at verse 2, he begins to tell them about prayer. How to pray. And by the way, we don't call this the Lord's Prayer. We call this the model prayer. Because Matthew, the sister passage to this, tells us, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Right? So we understand that. And he says that this is how we're supposed to pray. He gives the keys to it. We begin by worshiping God, acknowledging God. Then we ask for the things that we need. And then we ask for forgiveness. And then we also ask for deliverance and things. And then in Matthew, it tells us that we at the end, we give total submission and control over to God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we understand that. And after he tells them how to pray, he gives them an example. He gives them a story about a man that has a visitor come and he needs some bread. Now, by the way, doesn't that seem trivial? Yeah. Let me ask you this. Can you survive a day without bread? Yes. Okay, we know you can survive more than that without bread. Okay? You just can. Now, some of you are like me and like, no, I can't survive 3 hours without something. You know, I just had a donut at about 10:55, and I'm thinking it's time for another donut right now. Okay? Who's with me? Okay? Yeah, okay, let's go. No. hold on, we gotta take a little time out here. Go get a donut. No, but honestly and truly, we can go a lot longer, can't we? So was this just a dire emergency? Well, not really. I mean, it's midnight. I mean, for most of us, maybe I'm the exception, because usually at about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, I'm eating something. And so I know I can at least go from 11 o'clock till about 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock without eating anything, because I'm sleeping. Okay? The visitor could have come here at midnight. They could have gone back to bed. They could have gotten up in the morning and then tried to find the bread. You know, I mean, but why is he going at midnight? I have a visitor. I need some bread. I don't have any bread. Okay, but I want you to understand this. The Lord gives this illustration. Again, and we'll talk about this, and I've said it so many times this year, and I'll continue to say it. You know, you understand that if we had everything recorded in history, we couldn't hold it in one volume in our hands. God is the one that has limited his word. He's only given us what he wants us to have. Everybody believe that, right? In this book, God has given us what he wants us to have. He chose to include this story. You understand? Go, just flip over quickly to Matthew chapter 7. Do you understand that we have here in chapter 7, we have this, right? We have this thing about prayer and the model prayer. And then we have it continue into verse chapter 7. And we see here, right? If you go to chapter 7 in verse 7, he says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then he says the same thing in verse 8. So that's very, very close to Luke chapter 11. All right. And then if you look here, you see that from the time that he talks about the model prayer rather, and he says those things, there's no mention of this story in Matthew. Not here. But he records it in Luke. Everybody okay with, you understand what I'm talking about? So he gives us this story for a reason. And that's what I want to kind of focus on today. And I want you to notice this, what he says. He says here that, which of you, in verse 5, shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. By the way, in verse 7, the Bible says that the door is shut and he's sleeping. The friend is in bed. Okay? I come to your house, right? And I stand there, the door is shut. Let me just ask you a question. This is not written in Scripture, but let me just ask you a question. What am I going to have to do? Hello? Or something, right? I could break a window and open the door. I mean, whatever the case may be. No, I'm going to knock. All right, that's assumed here in this passage of Scripture, right? He says to his friend, friend, I need this thing. But so if you skip down to verse 8, there are three things given here. We've gone through two of them, and then we're going to focus on the third today. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. So what does the man do at the house of his friend? He asks him. He asks him for bread. Right? Okay? Then he says, seek, and ye shall find. As the man goes from his house to his friend's house, what is he looking for? Bread. He's seeking, right? Bread. And so he's seeking it. That's kind of the quiet thing. That's the unvocalized thing, right? The seeking. Everybody understand that, right? The asking is the vocalized part of it. But what is the physical part of it? Knock. Knock. Now, you understand that as human beings, all three of these things are critical elements in our lives. Right? How many people have a thought or a desire like seeking something, right? And that's all they do. They just kind of are looking for something. And that's their whole aura, right? But some of those take it further and do what? Ask. And some even go further and knock. Okay, did God have to record all three of these elements in this thing of prayer? No. But he did. He did in this story. By the way, the knocking is assumed because the door is shut. Right? And so in order to give the friend the bread because of his importunity, he's going to have to do what? Open the door. And what does Jesus say? He says to him, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Okay? So this is the part of prayer. What are you willing to do? Are you just going to seek and find? Are you just going to ask and receive? Or are you going to knock and see the door opened? Now, let me ask you a question. This thing of knocking, right? We can attribute this to just like we do to the other things. By the way, sometimes what do you have to do to actually find something? Keep seeking it, right? Because if you say, oh, I'm just going to look for it, and you don't find it, you do what? You give up, right? But if you keep looking, okay, ask, right? You ask about something, and then you ask once, and you don't get it, right? So you just quit asking, right? So guess what you're probably not going to do? You're probably not going to get it. But if you keep asking, right? How many of you, you've done that before? I remember when I got married, I was working third shift at a hospital as an environmental control specialist. I was a janitor. Brother Keith, I was a janitor. Amen? But I was an environmental control specialist. It was fantastic. But I worked third shift. I didn't want to work third shift. Beginning a new family and all that. You know, my poor wife is going to be in an apartment all by herself all night long. You know, that's what lady would like to do that, right? No, you don't want that. You want the security of your husband being there, right? Especially at nighttime.
And so, so I went to switch jobs. And so I applied for a job at True Green. How many of you have heard of True Green before? Yeah, yeah, lawn company, right? They spray yards and things like that. Well, I worked for True Green. I applied for a job. Some friends of mine worked there. And the guy gave me an interview, but he said, okay, we're going to see. Well, it was a sales job. What do you expect of a salesman? Now, I know you hate this about the salesman, right? But to be tenacious, right? To go after it. Go after the sale. That's what they teach you. So guess what I did trying to get a job as a salesman? I kept knocking. And finally the guy, after several weeks, he's like, look, I'm going to hire you just because you won't leave me alone. Got the job. you see what I'm saying? We gotta keep knocking. And the door shall be opened unto us. Listen, this is something that lends to our tenacity in prayer. Yes, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. But knock and the door shall be opened to you. This is, we've got to go to prayer. Let me kind of help you visualize this. Can I be doing anything, right, and pray? Yeah, pray without ceasing, right? We can do that anywhere, right? We can pray in the car. We can pray, you know, standing outside, inside, wherever, right? By the way, I don't recommend that you close your eyes and pray while you're driving. I don't think that's a good idea. Okay. Now, if you have that much faith, God bless you. But I guess I don't. That's great. And you know what? You can seek God. You know, and if you will, be about your everyday business. But to actually stand there at the door and knock, it kind of gives credence to something special. Because what do you got to do? You got to go to the door, right? And you got to knock on the door. It's not going to do me any good if I go to my neighbor's house, right? And I kind of air knock on the front of the sidewalk. What's that going to do? Is the door going to be open to me? Probably not. The only thing that's going to happen is the wagon's going to come by with the little straitjacket and they're going to take me away. Okay? But I need to knock. I need to actually physically knock on the door. Let me just talk about this. We must not only ask, we must seek, and if you will, in asking and seeking, we must continue to press, knocking at the door, and sometimes at length to prevail. So you understand that this thing of knocking is an accent. It's that just, I'm not going to quit until I get what I need from my God. And we've got to learn to stand at the door and knock. Now, this thing of knocking is unique. It's not recorded very many times in Scripture. I believe it's 6 times in Scripture. I could be wrong about that. It might be 5, it might be 7. But I'll just settle on 6 because it's in between the two. All right? But I want you to understand something. Actually, I can count how many times. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, maybe it's 5, 6. Maybe it's 7. Maybe it's 8. But anyways, it's in there somewhere. It's not very many. Less than 10. Let's just settle on that. Less than 10 times. Okay? So let's look at this thing. We need to make sure that we're following what the Scriptures say about this. The story talks about the man going, the door is shut. He's asking of his friend for these things. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So God wants us
to have these things. He wants us to have that bread at midnight for the friend who's on a journey. Even though it's inconvenient, if you will. By the way, nothing's inconvenient for God, okay? He's God. But he wants us to enjoy these things. So let's look at some of these passages of scripture where it talks about knocking and what the Bible has to say about it. Look at Luke chapter 13, just a few chapters over from our text this morning. Jesus is talking here and he's teaching as he's journeying toward Jerusalem. It says in verse 22, it says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught us in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." Okay, it's an interesting statement of scripture, but it mentions that thing of knocking, right? Now, in this particular case, what's true? The door, after a while, has been shut. And no amount of knocking is going to prevail. Right? Now, what's this speaking of? We know this is speaking about that narrow gate or that narrow way of salvation, that it's open for a time, folks. And can I tell you something? I can't tell you what your opportunity is, that open door that you have. You say, well, doesn't the Bible say something about anybody can be saved? Well, yes, it does. But the Bible also teaches us that in every human being's life, there's a time of opportunity. Now, do I know what that is? I don't. Now, beware, some churches claim to know when that is. That's kind of scary. Because the Bible doesn't tell us that. Now, I'll tell you about my friend, Pastor Lassiter. He gives his testimony of his salvation. He tells us, when he tells his story of his salvation testimony, that he knows in his own soul that if he wouldn't have responded that night that he did respond, that was his last time. That's his words. Okay? Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know, but that's what he tells us. How many of you kind of have had similar understanding of that? You know of somebody that has said that, or you just, but do you understand? We don't know when that's going to be. But we do know that does happen. So we've got to understand that this thing of knocking is important. Because we've got to do everything that we can do to get what we need. Now, by the way, when we're knocking, who still has the right of the door? God does. And if he decides to open it, then he's going to open it. And if he decides not to open it, he's not going to open it. Because he's the master of the house. He's the owner of the door, if you will. So you understand that God, in his sovereignty, is either going to answer the door or not. You see, but Pastor, you just said here that Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. We've already talked about this. These all have parameters. Scriptural and biblical parameters. This is not a free-for-all. Well, say, but I asked God for a Ferrari and he didn't give me a Ferrari. God's a liar. No, God's not a liar. All right, we've already talked about the parameters. You said, well, God said this door would be open, but he didn't open it. By the way, let me just insert this here. I'm sick and tired of these people that make silly statements like this.
When God closes the door, he opens a window.
That's going to leave a mark. I hurt. No. No. When God closes a door, the devil opens a window. He's hoping that you'll go through it anyways when God shut the door. But you know what? When God closes the door, sometimes he opens another door. And by the way, let me just say this. Sometimes he leaves the door shut. Because he doesn't want you to go anywhere. He doesn't want you to make any decisions. He doesn't want you to take another path. So we've got to understand that God's the one with the sovereignty for that. Now, look at Revelation chapter 3. Here's another instance of the word knock. And the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So far this is not good, right? Alright. Then he says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing." So let's stop there. So are these the type of people that are going to be asking and receiving? Or seeking and finding? Or going at midnight to the neighbor's house and knocking on the door looking for bread? No, because they think that they have everything. They think that they are sufficient, right? They don't need God. Here's what he says. He says, "Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that thou art, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." He said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Okay, so he says this about them, and then he says to them, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Now here's Jesus speaking. We believe this is the Lord speaking to the church at Laodicea. All right. And he says to them an interesting phrase. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." So what's he talking about here? He's talking about the door to their heart. He's talking about the door to their life, if you will. He's like, look, instead of you asking and receiving of me and seeking and finding and knocking and opening, I am the one that's knocking on your heart's door. I want you to change. I want you to open the door and let me in to your life. He said, "I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." I just thought that was an interesting thing about knocking and God knocking on our heart. You understand that Jesus says that we should knock and it shall be opened. Jesus says, I want you to open your heart's door. I want you to open your life to me so that I can come and I can have fellowship with you and you can repent, you can be restored because you're not seeing what you are and who you are. In Luke chapter 12, he talks about servants that are waiting for the master. And it says that the Lord, he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants who the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. So you understand when he comes and knocks, that we should open unto him. This thing of knocking is an action. We need to do these things. And so as I think about prayer and I think about asking and receiving and seeking and finding, And I think this thing of knocking and the story that goes with it, with the friend going to his neighbor's house and seeking bread and looking for bread and asking for bread and, if you will, knocking on the door and trying to find the bread, that we need to be active. Let me ask you a question. In according to Luke chapter 12 and in Revelation chapter 3, does God want to meet with us? He does. And let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt the Lord knocking on your heart's door? I hope you have. Because He wants to be with you. Now, if I go to your house and I knock on your door, what am I desiring? To come in. To talk to you. For you to do what? Open the door. So we can have fellowship. So we can talk. Or if you will, that I can get something from you. Or sometimes, if I borrow a tool from you, I want to give it back. Okay? I hope that's the case. I don't want to be a tool thief, you know. Oh, I forgot I had this. Where did this come from? Oh, I borrowed it from a neighbor. that's a bad thing. But the whole idea is to meet with someone face to face. Whether it's us knocking and wanting to see God face to face, or whether it's Him knocking at our door wanting to meet us face to face. You see, that's the essence of what Jesus is trying to get across to the disciples. It's not just asking. It's not just seeking. But it's knocking. And it shall be opened unto you. By the way, let me ask you a question. In Acts chapter 12, there's another example of knocking. Remember, Peter was in prison. And, of course, the story of him getting out of prison. Well, if you will, what helped him get out of prison? The people praying for him. Right? Okay? And so they're praying, right? They're in a prayer meeting. And he gets out. He realizes this is not a dream. This is for real. I'm outside the prison here. And so what does he do? He goes and he... Or maybe he did. Okay, I don't know what the secret knock was at that time. But and that little girl answers the door, right? And there's this whole exchange. Peter's ghost is outside knocking on the door. No, I don't think so. It's really him. But he knocked at the door, right? And she went and told. She heard his voice, and she was glad. They said, no, he must be dead. No, but he continued. He continued knocking, it tells us. In Colossians 4, Paul writes, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Isn't that interesting? He's linking continuing in prayer to basically knocking and the door being opened. So we've got to understand that this is how it needs to be. James tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So as we consider this thing of knocking, I want you to think about your prayer life. You're asking and receiving. You're seeking and finding. And you're knocking and the door being opened to you. Jesus wants us to understand that it's not just asking and receiving. It's not just seeking and finding. But it's all three elements. It's also knocking. Because we need something. There's a physical aspect to it. And that's why I think it's important oftentimes to go to the Lord in prayer. Like you're going to somebody's house to do what? To meet with them. I think it's important, as Jesus said, enter into thy closet. Wait, by the way, doesn't a closet have a door? See, I put all these things together. Because it kind of makes sense to me that knocking means there's a door to be opened. And so we've got to add this or think of this in our life of prayer. Because we're promised that if we'll ask, we'll receive, we'll seek, we'll find, we'll knock, and it shall be opened unto us. God wants to meet with us. He wants to see us face to face, if you will. He wants us to enter into His throne room. He wants us to enter into that time where it's us and Him, and He's going to open the door. We know that Jesus wants to meet with us, and if we don't come seeking Him, He's going to knock on your heart's door to meet with you. This is what we need to understand about knocking.